So welcome back to the channel. Wait a second. It's the two of us. Should I say this is a legacy of faith, a podcast?
It's a video recorded podcast.
That's maybe. Right. So on the channel, on the YouTube channel, one of the things we talked about from the very beginning is that we want to have some combinations. You've seen a couple of videos, hopefully, of just me. You've seen one of Lee, I think, so far. Mary Carol's done one. We're still waiting on Turner. But also some combination videos. And those combination videos, we're actually going to give the title Legacy of Faith. That's the website that we run. But also, we used to do this thing called a podcast at some point in time. Remember those?
Yeah, vaguely.
We recorded them at some point. Like, we always said it would be every other week. And about every 6 months, we record one. It was great. But Lee and I want to jump on here. By the way, this is YouTube, so we have to tell people to
like and subscribe.
That's right. Make sure you like and subscribe to the channel, and thank you to those who've already done that. And but Lee and I, recently, as you're releasing this video, we were asked to, by a congregation to do a marriage seminar. We're not going to rehash all of that, or even really rehash all of one lesson, but one of the interesting things that they asked us to do, this is at the North Jackson Church of Christ, Jackson, Tennessee. They had a split session, which we kind of made a joke about the fact of a marriage seminar and split sessions. That was great. But there was a session where they gave each of us very similar titles and kind of the same emphasis. And so we wanted to take just a few minutes, not even reteach those whole lessons, but kind of compare notes, what we talked about in each one. The overall thing was, do you see God in your wife for me and your husband for you? And then the subtitle, or kind of the thought they gave us to use as the jumping off point, was helping your spouse love God more than they love you. So before we dive into some practical things, Leah, why should I love God more than I love you? Why should you love God more than you love me? While you're talking, I remember I forgot to turn my notifications off my phone. So I'm going to do that just for a second. Go ahead.
The Bible teaches that, actually, that if you know, that God is supposed to have your whole heart and all of your mind. And so all of those things, and the verse is about Jesus saying, you know, bringing enmity between the husband and wife and daughter-in-law and all those. That's the point of that, really, is that you should have your relationship with God be so much more important and at the priority of your life. So as if it would almost be like you even hate the other people, like comparatively speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you go all the way back to the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. And I think typically when we think about that commandment, we think of, you know, having a carved image somewhere, because that's one of the next commandments, right? But then we often, in other lessons, we'll turn around and say, you know, a God can be anything you put before Jehovah God. Well, if that's the case, then if I put my spouse before God, the God of heaven, then that spouse has become that God that I have before Jehovah. And that's an Old Testament passage, but that just shows us how far back that concept goes. And in the New Testament, you know, like you said, you shall love the Lord your God with everything. You know, Mark 12, 30 and 31. So what we want to see in our spouse, hopefully, is our spouse putting God first. And then, you know, we talk about that picture, you know, the triangle that you see in all kinds of marriage books and sermons and seminars. You know, God's the top apex of the triangle, and then the husband and the wife are the bottom corners. And the closer they get to God, the closer they get to each other. But that's only possible if each one, and then both collectively, are really putting God first. So let's think about when you talk to the wives. We're going to give everything we talked about, for one thing. People may want to hear this as a lesson at some point, but just some practical things. You'll speak to wives, I'll speak to husbands, we'll probably, you know, say some of the same things. What's a thing or two, and we won't go through the whole list, but just a thing or two that you mentioned specifically, maybe that kind of jumped out at you, that you said, hey, wives, or you as a wife, what are some things we need to do to aid our husband in loving God even more than they love us, you, as well? That's a weird question.
Well, and I kept it very general. I mean, I don't know if I use the words like love him, your husband loving you more than God, but I did talk about encouraging him to be closer and closer to God and to build his spiritual maturity and things like that. But one of the biggest things I mentioned, well, the first thing I wanted to clear up or just say right away was that, especially for women, because I mentioned that we're nurturers and we're compassionate and we take care of people, we're caregivers, that you can't make your husband have a relationship with God. Because a lot of women will really stress and agonize over that because they think, if I do the right thing and I'm going to, you know, do this and do that, and then they're just forlorn when they can't see the growth. And so I said, you know, he stands before God and he answers for himself. It's all just like you will. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the first things I thought it was important to mention. And then,
well, let's mention, we jump off of that. A passage in 1 Peter, was it chapter 3, where it talks about the unbelieving husband. One of the things when I talk about that passage, I always say, it says he may be one without a word. Let's say he will be, but she's still living, you know, the right kind of life. And hopefully, you know, like you said, she can't make him do it. But the Bible does give that hope. There's at least the possibility of him being spiritual or more spiritual based on her faithful life.
We talked about just encouraging him in his Bible study, and especially, if he has a secular job, you know, you're in a minority where your job is to study, even though I think preachers need to be encouraged to study for themselves.
When we actually have time to study.
Right.
Some of the other
but you know what
longer.
I mean? You probably naturally are going to be
right.
in the Word more.
Right.
And learning and preparing your sermons. That's a natural part of it. But a guy in a secular job may need that extra encouragement when he comes home to, you know, have the time to do that. And a lot of times women in a lot of homes, they do control that schedule, especially if there are children involved, a lot more. And to, you know, just to remember that doesn't need to be something that's harder and harder and harder for a husband to do, that there should be some gentle encouragement toward that, making sure he's at least, you know, reading his Bible, studying. And we talked about, you know, different ways, encouraging, you know, in church involvement, which goes along the same lines about how, you know, that can happen. And then just being involved in lectures if you can, and those things like that. We talked a lot about just taking care of we did talk about submission, because if you're encouraging your husband to have a relationship with God more than you, then even that plays into that, because his role from God is to be the leader of the home, and he's commanded to lead his home and to be the head of the wife. That's biblical teaching. And so as a woman, then if you are, you know, not submitting, then you're making his job harder, because either he gives up or he does it, but it's harder for him to do. And then I talked about in one of the lessons, I talked about how we don't need to look at submission as something that's makes you less than. And we use Philippians chapter 2 to talk about how Jesus, being equal with God, left heaven and came in the form of a human or a servant in human form to be able to, and then he submitted to God, even though he was equal with God. And Philippians 2 teaches that he didn't hold on to that equality. And all of that was a lesson in humility for us. So we talked about that because, a lot of times people have the wrong idea about what it really means.
And they think submission is basically just a doormat.
Right. And it's not. And as much as the wife is supposed to submit to her husband and yield to the authority, submission is not a husband just barks commands all the time and he doesn't care what his wife, that's not what that word means. But it means that, you know, you yielding to authority, just like we do in other areas of our life, and in the home is no different. And that's a picture of, there again, of Christ's example in that, is something to remember. But and also just the picture of the, not only is a wife supposed to submit to her husband, but hand in hand with that is that the husband is supposed to be loving her and taking care of her so much, just like Christ did for the church. So we talked about Ephesians chapter 5 and how our marriages are a picture of the church. And that's one way actually we can teach the world around us more about the gospel, because they can see a living picture of compassion and selfless love and yielding, humility. All of those are pictures of what God has done for us and what Jesus did as a sacrifice for us, and how that's really a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, so as you're listening, because we talked before we did these lessons, we talked just a little bit about, hey, here's a couple of things we're going to talk about. We didn't compare like full notes or anything. But it's interesting that some of the things you talk to the wives about are exactly the things I talk to the husband about. The number one thing I said to the men, if I want my wife to love, you know, God even more than she loves me, the way I word it was lead by example. You know, she needs to see that I love God, mm-hmm. and that I love God first. Now, we mentioned briefly, you know, am I going to be perfect in that? No, because we're human. There's going to be times where we sin. There's also going to be times where, intentionally or unintentionally, something else does take God's place. You know, hopefully we don't want it to, but sometimes that happens. But hopefully she sees that the overall this thrust of life is, man, God comes first in his time. He comes first in his decision-making processes. You know, whatever we're going through, my husband may make a dumb decision, but there's no way I can question he really has prayed about this and thought about this and, you know, read passages related to this or whatever. So the lead by example thing. And then you mentioned for the wives, I also mentioned the husbands, giving the wife time, time and space. And I added resources, you know, to help in her spiritual growth. And some of the examples we talked about are similar. You know, you talked about there's children involved. Yeah, that's why I talked about the guys too. You know, is especially children of any age, but especially when they're little, you know, and you know, the wife may be up 3 and 4 times in the night if they're really, really little, you know, taking care of things. But obviously you can't make a wife do this kind of thing, but just say, honey, I will take care of this chore or this feeding or whatever it is. And because you've talked about how you need more time to study the Bible, I would love to give that to you by taking this whatever, you know. And but it's not just when the kids are little, you know. Maybe you just say to the wife, look, I know you usually vacuum on Thursday evenings. I'll do the vacuuming. You take that time with God, whether it's Bible study or prayer or whatever it happens to be. But I also talked about, you know, resources. And you know, couples, you know, share, they should, this might be a different video, you know, share their finances and things. But you know, statistically speaking, men spend more money than women do. By far. I told the guys that one of the lessons, I got this look like, he's lost his mind. I said, well, here's what happens. We complain as our wives buy over the course of a year, you know, a couple of years, you know, $875 dresses. We don't think a thing about spending $26,000 on a bass boat because that's just one purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And so the men spend far more money.
Ticket items.
Yeah, especially what we might call discretionary money, not, you know, food or the light bill or what, the electric bill.
We're old.
They are really old. But, you know, but just
which
kind
is
of,
what we call
kind,
it.
Kind of, the, kind of the extra money, you know, the stuff, or, you know, the spending money. But what if he just said, I'll pay for you to go to a ladies' day a couple states away because your favorite speaker's speaking. You know, we'll get you a hotel room. Or if he is a preacher, he's got the library. I mean, you know, which obviously you have access to my books. Anytime, hey, I'm studying through Philippians, I've got more Philippians commentaries and, you know, I've got more words than Paul, I think, knew about Philippians. It's crazy. But why can't she have some type of biblical study library? It may not equal his if he's a preacher, but it may.
Right.
Or it may, if he's a factory worker or a school teacher, they can share, obviously, but there may be some special things, lady studies or, you know, certain versions of the Bible that she really is interested in or whatever. Figure out the money. It's an investment in her spiritual life. And not going, well, we could use that $50 on, you know, an extra trip out. You know, she, for some strange reason, wants a commentary on John. Buy the commentary on John, you know. And just giving her that space, those resources, and sometimes that's literally the space. You know, some wives, you've talked about this before, especially when the kids were little, you kind of feel like the whole house is everybody else's but yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kids have this room and their stuff's in that room and they have their own room and, you know, and it's like, okay, where's even a chair that I can say, this is my Bible study chair, this is where I pray. If all you can afford is a rundown desk off Amazon Marketplace and you have to, you know, hammer the legs back in, but that's our Bible study table,
right. I've seen that over and over. Just not especially specifically with this topic, but just in general with moms, you know, just having that one place that's yours, but they, you know, for Bible study, but.
I think I'm going to say Facebook Marketplace, not Amazon Marketplace. That was very odd. No. I said that, and I was like, what is Amazon Marketplace?
Just having that one.
Yeah. But, you know, but making sure, because one of the things I talked about in that lesson is it's really interesting to, if you have long enough conversation with guys, I mean, very spiritual guys, elders, deacons, you know, Bible class teachers. And I think some of this is they just want to honor their wives. I think some of it is a humility. They're not sure how to word, but how often you will hear very spiritual men say, my wife is more spiritual than I am. And because they feel that way, or maybe they know that's the case, they think, then why do I have to help her? She already does love God more than me. And the reason is what you said, we're told to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're told to help, you know, each other, especially the husbands, to love the wives. And so while I may think, man, I mean, my wife's closer to God than I'll ever be. Yeah, but she may not be as close to God as she wants to be or needs to be. And so what can I do to make sure that she really has God first in everything? There's all kinds of things we could add to this, but it's amazing we talked about the same stuff. Mm-hmm. They should just combine the class.
I think sometimes too, thinking about, I kind of focused on that word encouraging too, because, you know, a long time ago I taught a lesson about encouraging in a way is giving courage, you know, mm-hmm. just bestowing courage. And sometimes we don't do that when we feel like people are doing okay. Because they're doing okay.
They're fine, yeah.
But giving courage, encouraging, I don't know, maybe that's a terrible word study, but when I think of words, I think of them like that. But giving courage to people to keep on doing the right thing,
mm-hmm.
and to let them know you see them doing the right thing and that you're proud of them for doing the right thing. And I think that's a big point in marriages too, especially the day in and the day out. You know, with so many things, we can forget to do that for our spouses. And that can, you know, obviously, and, you know, understandably discourage them. Just stop, you know, I've done this for a long time. I'm just tired of doing it. No one seems to care or notice. And that can be on both sides of the marriage, not just, you know, especially with their spiritual lives too. Like, you know, you feel like you just don't get credit. And that happens when we talked about a little bit about this is just paying attention and not taking things for granted, I think it's just so huge when we're just thinking about things like this and just not taking things for granted.
And putting us back into the thing, like you're taking spiritual things.
Right.
Yeah, he actually led a prayer at supper for the first time in 6 weeks.
Right.
Man, talk it up.
Right. Oh, and I mentioned that too. Like if there's, you know, we mentioned respect, like respect, because even that is building. It's to me, it's just tied together. If you are respecting your husband and you're following God's commands, that's only going to benefit him and make him more encouraged and more bold to be who he needs to be for God. And if you're always beating, you know, him down and questioning everything, which is, you know, so easy to do, but if you're doing that, then you're encouraging him in his leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time I was like, you know, sometimes some guys might not be naturally take charge kind of people, and they may shy away, and they may finally say, I tell you what, this is going to happen. You know, like maybe the husband and the family is usually more quiet, but don't, if the one time he finally says, I'm going to insist on this happening, I want all of us to be doing this, or we're making this change in our family, maybe some improvement he wants to see. Well, you know, it would be terrible. And it is terrible if the first thing he hears is, well, that's not going to work.
Can I do a practical example? Like, you know, you said this or this, and this isn't meant to be the only example. Let's just put some skin on here. What if it's the husband who says, you know what, kids, Sunday morning, we're actually getting an hour early and going to Bible class.
Mm-hmm.
If the wife immediately goes, are we sure? That's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if she says, you know what, I'll stay up an extra 30 minutes and iron the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he's going to feel 10 feet tall for having made what really is a fairly simply stated decision, but his wife backed him up.
Yeah, because she's thinking of her, you know, what generally would happen is that, you know, you may have a situation like that, and as far as the wife is going, she's probably thinking about all the things that might not work out, or mm-hmm. she, and It's a sign of weakness. It really is. But she may be offended, like, you didn't check with me about that first. Well, that's not really a requirement.
Yeah,
You know,
he might have been
I
wise
mean,
too, but it's
he,
not.
yeah, and it may not work out. You know, there may be something that he was just totally, and that's a learning lesson for everybody, you know, but it's not the right thing to say. You know, we're talking about just a, like you say, a simple, let's do this to improve our family. Let's make an improvement here or change this kind of thing about our home life and our relationship, whatever. And why, you know, just say, oh, well, that's not going to work, or it's
Or that's
so
no big
easy
deal.
to, yeah. We're like, well, he just, you know, it's
Yeah.
not, I'm not going to really care if we leave that early or not, because, you know, if you have that attitude and,
Or I'll have one more. Or he'll never stick with it.
yeah.
He may have really been struggling with that, whatever that decision is, for months,
To say,
and finally had the guts to say, "Here's what we're going to do." And if she goes, "He'll never stick with it," he won't right
Right.
then.
Yeah. So we did talk about just trying your best, and it's a learning experience. I mean, and
Sure.
it's harder and harder in our modern culture because, you know, you start talking about things like this, and you know, the first thing people think of is that, well, that's just a sign of weakness, and you don't need to, you
Or
know,
male dominance.
yeah,
He's a tyrant.
or here come all the caveats.
Yeah.
Like, what if he does this? I'm like, okay. I mean, no one is saying any of the bad, like, what if he's doing all the, but you know, it's talking about the examples like you were just saying,
Yeah.
you know, just trying to be, you know, authority means something everywhere else in the world. And so for some reason, when we get into the home with a husband and a wife, we want to throw out every reason why that's not workable. And it works everywhere else. It
And you
works.
know, there's a biblical principle, and I don't want to go down a rabbit trail. We could double the length of this podcast if we wanted to, but in 1 Corinthians 13, that love chapter, there's one of those phrases that I've really thought a lot about really the last few years, because I've struggled with it, not necessarily with you, but just with people in general. That phrase, love believes all things, what it really means is love believes the best. And so if that husband says, "Here's a decision," and the wife begins thinking, "What about this? What about this?" Does she really love him? Because is she really thinking the best about he made this decision? I mean, I'd agree with the decision, but I'm thinking the best that he really tried to think and pray and put first things first, even if I think he's not doing it the right way. Love believes the best in somebody else.
Yeah, and some things are not going to matter as much, but even when they do matter, and this is where it's really hard, when it really does matter, the thing that we ought to do, especially as wives, is think about God. You're not just trusting your husband. And this, you're
You are, but not
trusting,
only trusting
I
him.
mean, so if there's this case where, okay, there's a decision to be made and you're just so sure, you know, this is not right or this is not going to work, even if it doesn't, I mean, God could have controlled that. I mean, your husband is, you know, the head of you, but he's not the head of God.
Right.
And God can step in and say, you know, so we really need to talk a lot. It's not just trusting your husband. It's really, do I trust God? God can handle this situation.
That sounds like another video that needs to be done at some point.
Well,
That could be a really good Leah's video. Ladies, let's talk now. Or we can make talk about
but it's true.
it. Can I mention one other thing that we talked about with the guys? And then we're running, it's just like the podcast, we're running longer than we thought we would. That's okay. This was one that when I was putting the notes together, I think I put it third or fourth. I had four or five things, but it was also, I thought of it last, but I've kind of moved it up the list a little bit. If we're going to help our wives grow, spiritually, I put that the husband needs to seek and grant forgiveness. And the easy one of those two to think about is seeking forgiveness, right? But you do something not necessarily sinful, but whatever, but you ask for my forgiveness. If my response is, "That's no big deal," that's not really helping you grow spiritually. Even if I don't think it's that big of a deal, if I grant that forgiveness, it relieves that guilt that might be keeping you from growing spiritually. Now, if it's obviously sin, that's a different level of things. But not just brushing off the fact that the wife feels, like she's hurt you or harmed you or done something dumb by you or whatever, but really granting forgiveness helps her spirit just be open, and say, "Okay, I'm free. Let's grow." And I think that goes both ways. That's why I thought, because I think I think a lot of women, I'm not one, but struggle with guilt if they're not really forgiven. Mm-hmm. If they don't hear the words, I forgive
if,
you.
Even or, if they are forgiven.
But true. but if, you know, if he obviously says, you know, I don't even understand this, but yes, it's free. It's over with. You're forgiven. Okay. We can move on. Yeah. But if he just like, whatever. Well, then did he forgive me or not? Or did he just shove it off? And those are, you know, very different things. Mm-hmm. But also, obviously, seeking forgiveness helps her grow closer to God, not because it puts her in the place of God, but because she sees a man who's trying to, you know, get things right. And so it helps her to see, okay, he's trying, I need to try. Mm-hmm. And it goes both ways.
It encourages her in her spiritual walk, yeah. Because if she thinks, well, he doesn't care if he did anything wrong, mm-hmm. and he doesn't want to make it right, then there it goes back to that whole, like, well, why would I keep trying to do
yeah.
something?
So we hope these things have encouraged you. We started the YouTube channel. We thought most of these are going to be individual. Every once in a while, we do something together.
We really are just. Let's just be honest. We're trying new things.
That's right. We should have named this channel "Throw Spaghetti Against a Wall."
That's right. That's right.
But in reality, seriously, reason we came with the YouTube channel was we wanted a variety of stuff.
Variety.
And when we thought, hey, let's try the video format for the fun of it. And so far, we've seen videos about hair things with Mary Carroll, Habakkuk with me, you know. So that series is ongoing.
Chicken and dumplings.
Chicken and dumplings from Leah. Hopefully, you'll because she can cook. I'm telling you, she needs to do more videos about all kinds of things.
But, I've got ideas, but usually, you know, when you're cooking, you're not thinking about videoing.
She needs to have her phone
I'm
ready.
I'm not looking at the camera either. You probably.
That's all right.
So we should look at
the camera. Sorry. But in all seriousness, we may not have the highest quality, you know, cinema. I mean, if you could see our setup, we do have a fire back here for the fun of it. But we don't have all the fancy lights and everything. But we're just a family who wants to help families, and this is just a format for us to do it. So subscribe to the channel. I don't know when we will record as two of us again, but there will be more videos coming. There might be another Habakkuk coming in the next few days. Don't ask me how I know that since I've already recorded. But there'll be other things coming soon. How about this for a podcast? I'm like, Leah, I love you.
I love you.
And until next time, your family can't go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together. In all seriousness, thanks for watching.